Come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. That the land perish not through the famine. When Joseph was still at home, about the age of 17, he had two dreams, which indicated that he was going to be a great leader. But then he was cast into a pit, then sold into Egypt, and finally thrown into prison. His faith was being tried, and no doubt during that course of time he learned patience and humility. But then the appointed time came for his deliverance. For all of God's people, when they go through hardship, when they are praying for God's help, the Lord delivers them according to His purpose, and He gives the deliverance according to the appointed time. As we read in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." God's time is the best time. And if Joseph had been released from prison any earlier, then probably he would have gone back home to see his father before he could even interpret Pharaoh's dreams and so give the advice that would be the means of saving Egypt from starvation. The way that God delivered Joseph was also unexpected. Pharaoh had a dream. He had two dreams. And none of the wise men in Egypt could interpret them. Then the butler remembers that Joseph had correctly interpreted his dream, and so Pharaoh immediately sends for Joseph. And Pharaoh tells the dream to Joseph, and the dreams are interpreted correctly. The dream was unusual. Seven cows, that's what the word kine means, cows. Seven cows came up out of the river, healthy, fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. And then look, seven other cows came out of the river. They were ugly, and they ate up the good cows. The same thing happened in the second dream. At first, there were good ears of grain. It's not corn in the, it's not American maize or Indian corn in North America, but it's a type of grain that was grown in Egypt. Well, the bad ears of grain were withered by the strong, dry east wind, and these bad ears of grain swallowed up the good ears. Well, Joseph interpreted this very unusual dream. And as you know, the seven good cows and the seven good ears of grain are 7 years of plenty, in which the crops will be reaped in abundance. But then there will be famine, and that would be 7 years so severe that the years of plenty would be forgotten. And since the dream happened twice, it was to show the certainty of the things that were to take place. So Joseph gives advice, and he says that during the 7 years of plenty, 1/5 of the produce should be stored up and be available during the 7 years of famine. Now in all of this, we see how God Himself was making provision for the land, and yet not so much for Egypt as for His own dear people. You see how wonderfully God provides for His own. He knows the end from the beginning, and He knows when His people will endure hardship, and He makes preparation for them, and in order to provide for their need when the time comes. The time will come, and God knows when that will be. So So God was making preparation for his people, and he caused the land to yield a plentiful crop. And the reason why the land was yielding a plentiful crop was that they would have enough for the lean times. The lean times in the future. And Joseph was given wisdom to ensure that a good and wise use would be made of the crops during the years that were the crops that were reaped during the years of plenty. God was raising up Joseph in order to ensure that that wisdom would be employed in setting aside a proper amount of the crops for the future, for future use. Where are we going with this? Well, I believe that here we find the teaching of God's Word, the doctrine and the teaching of God's Word in general, first, that God gives blessings for a purpose. God gives blessings, not randomly, but purposefully. He gives blessings for a reason. That's the general truth we find. And secondly, that God often gives a greater provision for a future purpose. God gives a greater provision at times for a future purpose. When the Lord gives us plenty, it is not so that we can squander it and spend it on just anything. The young people should lay this to heart, at least some anyway. You make a little money, it's not to be spent on just anything that you would like to buy. The Lord gives it for so that it can be used for a good purpose. And what we learn from this part of God's Word, I believe, is at the very least, we should lay up the abundant goodness of God in the storehouse of our memory. And we should do so with thankfulness. But we are met together on a day of harvest thanksgiving. And we should give thanks to the Lord. We should be thankful to God for His goodness to us as a nation. He has provided for us our temporal needs. And at the same time, on this day that we have met together for Harvest Thanksgiving, I would like, with the Lord's help, to try to consider and lay to heart and learn for future reasons as well as currently, five lessons from this account of the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. Five lessons that we can learn from this account of the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. And the first lesson is, God often appoints times of plenty and times of scarcity. This is not an unusual thing for God at times to give us plenty, but other times to bring us through scarcity. And we should expect this both temporally and spiritually. We're not saying that we should have the attitude of the world that, oh well, there are good times and there are bad times, and you just have to take the good with the bad. We're certainly not advocating stoicism, but knowing that God does work in these ways, we may be prepared for it. We may be prevented from needless discouragement and despondency. The Lord teaches us in the years of plenty and in the years of famine. Paul the Apostle said he had learned in these various circumstances. He says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." He says, verse 12, "I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. He knows how to respond to these different circumstances. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed. See, he's being taught. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So, it's not unusual for God to bring us through good times, and on the other hand, God brings us through hard times. And when it comes to spiritual things, for example, when the Lord grants his presence to his people, a sense of joy, it is good for young converts, those who are newly come to the faith, those who are recently born again, it is good for them to know and recognize that there are times when God does hide his face from his people. And that, for reasons that are known only to God, and therefore, knowing that there are times when God's people go through these difficult spiritual experiences, it will have the effect of causing the young convert not to be discouraged, not to be despondent, recognizing that this does happen, the Lord is pleased to do it at times. And of course, we're not saying this to make any one of God's people indifferent about their spiritual experiences. And it's not the case that they shouldn't examine themselves, but they should recognize that it is not a strange thing that God has brought them through. The Lord often does bring his people through times of plenty and through times of scarcity. Well, that's the first lesson we hope to learn from this part of God's Word. And the second lesson is that when God does bestow upon us the plenty, his gifts to us are not just intended for the moment in which they are received. In other words, along with present purposes, there are future purposes as well when the Lord gives us blessings. When it comes to temporal provisions, the good things of this life, those things are not to be wasted on riotous living like the prodigal son, so that when hard times came, he had nothing left. And when the business is booming, that's a time to be thankful, and there may be occasion for rejoicing in the Lord's goodness, but not to be spending lavishly on whatever comes to mind. Is there not something to be set aside for a rainy day? And when it comes to harvest during the summer, of course, some of it is to be stored up for the winter. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. And that is in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. So there is something to be said for storing up for the times of scarcity. And remember the children of Israel, every sixth day of the week, they were given double manna. There was a day of plenty in order to save up, of course, for the seventh day of the week, in which they would receive no manna outside their doorstep. They were to have laid it up the previous day. So when God gives us provisions, they are not always, especially when it's a plenteous provision, it's not just for the moment in which it is received, but there are future purposes as well. And aside from what we have said already, we shouldn't think just about depositing money in the bank account, looking for the best investments of this life. We should be giving to the Lord and his cause, recognizing that this is the investment that will never go wrong, and the provisions or whatever is stored up and laid aside for the cause of Christ will never be lost. But thinking in the spiritual realm, when the Lord gives plenty of His presence, when He fills His people with joy, when He blesses His word to them, when they are learning and they are feeling the power of His truth, for example, during a communion season, perhaps, when they have felt the Lord was filling their souls with spiritual nourishment and comfort, it is much to be enjoyed at the time, but is it to be forgotten? Should they leave it behind them? Did the Lord give it to them just so that they could have spiritual comfort for the moment, but after that, it's to no purpose? No. The Lord's people should continue to benefit from it, or at least lay it up in their memory, so that later on, when they're going through difficult circumstances or feeling dry or empty in their souls, and they feel that God is not so near to them, they can look back to their former experience of the Lord's goodness and grace to them, and so be encouraged and find comfort in the times of spiritual scarcity. So that's the second lesson, that when God gives plenteously, it's not just for the moment, but there's a future reference as well. And the third lesson tonight is similar to the second lesson. The third lesson is that while it is God's the purpose of these plenteous gifts are with a future reference, it is therefore our duty to record the instances of the Lord's goodness to us, at least in our memory. So the Lord gives us plenteously, and for a purpose, we should therefore make sure that we record it. We should lay it up in the storehouse of our memory. If not literally setting aside something of it. Not every unexpected provision is to be saved up in a bank account. Of course not. And not every provision that comes to our hand is to be put aside on the shelf somewhere. But even if, for example, you spent that extra bonus at work on some new clothes for your children, or used it on a holiday for spending quality time with the family, yet it is the Lord's goodness to you. And it is therefore our duty to give thanks and keep these things laid up in our memory, so that we might reflect on the kindness of the Lord to us, especially in times of need. So that when we are going through a difficult time, even in outward circumstances, we can look back to previous occasions of the Lord providing for us. If the Lord has provided for us in the past, He will provide for us in the future. And that's the reason why He has given us these things, that we might remember them and be encouraged to expect more from the Lord. So it is our duty to remember these things, the goodness of the Lord to us. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." And the Lord provided for His people, and they the shoes on their feet did not wear out, and so on. The Lord provided for them. And when God's people go through difficult circumstances, they should look back to the times in which God had delivered them previously. And John Flavel says that God's people should not underestimate the difficulty that they had been in times past, so that they would not devalue the goodness of God in delivering them on that previous occasion. As time goes by and the memory of it fades, we're likely to think, oh, well, it wasn't a big deal after all. But put yourself back into those circumstances. Think about how hard it really was. And the Lord preserved you and delivered you from it and brought you out of it. And so if the Lord has done it in that time, in the past, He will do it again for you in the future. So that is the third lesson, that it is our duty to record these instances of God's providing for us and helping us in our difficult circumstances. The fourth lesson is that the Lord teaches us in these times of scarcity. So yes, there are times of plenty. There are also times of scarcity. And during those times of famine, the Lord is teaching His people. And He is teaching all of us. We should all learn from these hard circumstances, whatever our condition is. We learn from God's Word. We learn from the experiences of God's people. And what comes to mind is one of the names that Joseph gave to one of his children. Verse 52 of the chapter we read, and the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So there was Joseph in Egypt, a land of affliction. And though, yes, the famine was still in the future, it was still on its way, yet Joseph had already been through a famine. He had already been through difficult times in his own experience. And he's saying that the Lord had made him fruitful in the land of his affliction. So if we can just apply it to ourselves, in the times of affliction or spiritual famine, or when the Lord seems distant from us, if we are one of His people and He seems to be hiding His face from us, it is teaching us, the Lord is teaching us to show us what is in our hearts, to teach us humility, to make us more dependent upon Him, to teach us patience, and all of us in all of this to bring us to plead His promises, search His Word. So the Lord is bringing us through difficult times, whether it be outwardly and in temporal matters or inwardly in spiritual experience. Through the times of scarcity, the Lord teaches us. As Moses goes on to say in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, He humbled thee, that is, through the wilderness, and suffered thee to hunger. Yeah, there was a time when the people of Israel were hungry. And then the Lord fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. Here was an amazing experience that the children of Israel experienced when God was providing the manna, the bread from heaven, on the occasion of their becoming hungry and being in need. And the Lord was teaching them in that time of destitution, being hungry, that man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So in these times of scarcity, God is teaching His people, and to humble them, to make them dependent, and to show them that the things of this life are not all that matters. And to make His people value more the treasures that are in heaven. Set your affection upon things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affection upon things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Finally, the fifth lesson is that the Lord returns to His people and bestows upon them plentifully. Such is the bountifulness of the Lord to His people, that He does come again and He makes them forget their sorrows when He returns to them. And that is brought out in the naming of Manasseh, Joseph's firstborn, in verse 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. So Joseph had gone through affliction, very hard times, in a pit, in prison, tempted severely. And after all of this, the Lord is dealing bountifully with him. And so that Joseph is forgetting all the affliction he had gone through. So when the Lord grants, for example, his presence to his people after they had gone through times of spiritual difficulty, and it seems the Lord has been so far from them, yet he returns. He lifts up the light of his countenance upon them. And it's as if they had never gone through the spiritual darkness in the past. Thinking about temporal things, well, there was Job, and he was severely tried. He lost all his possessions, but then his latter end, the way it turned out in the end, he had double all his possessions. And then thinking in a higher way, in the spiritual realm, Paul the Apostle speaks about, yes, the afflictions that God's people go through, but when you have the heavenly perspective, it is deemed light affliction in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it's a short duration. Joseph would have considered to be a very short period of time, 13 years in Egypt before he was raised to second in command. When you consider his long life that he lived, just a little more than a decade, it's just a moment. And then when you compare that with eternal riches, what is this but light affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory? So shouldn't we not be focused upon the things of this life as if there were no eternity? There is an eternity. There is a heaven for God's people, and their reward is great. So Paul says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And when the Lord returns to his people, the Lord Jesus will come again to receive his people to himself, that where he is, there they may be also. And they will forget their sorrows, they will forget their afflictions, all the difficulties they pass through in this life. It will, in terms of causing any grief, it will be utterly passed away from their mind. They won't forget it in terms of being thankful for the Lord carrying them through, but they will forget the sorrow. It will all be gone. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Well, in conclusion, let us be thankful to the Lord for his goodness to us. And let us not neglect to store up the goodness of the Lord, so that when hard times do come, outwardly or inwardly, temporally or spiritually, we might look back to these former experiences to help us. And that is why God gives them. He gives these times of plenty, not just for the moment, but with reference to the future. I know a young person who was a young person anyway, and he was just converted. And he felt the Lord was pouring spiritual blessings into his soul. And he was telling his minister about it. And the minister said, well, you should remember these things. The Lord gives these spiritual blessings, not just for the present, but so that in the future you might look back to it. When you may not enjoy those present spiritual blessings in your soul, You might go through a time of famine spiritually, but the Lord is giving you these things now, His presence, joy, so that it might help you in the future. So, for God's people, we should be thankful that the Lord has given us spiritual experiences of His goodness. And if we have recorded these things, these blessings, on paper or in our minds, we should not hesitate to look back at them, to pull them out, read them, think about them, that it might help us in our times of spiritual need. We should be thankful that all things are under the control and the wise government of God. And we don't know what the future holds, and yet, in a way we do, because we know that God holds the future, and God has told us what is going to take place, not in our dreams, but in His Word. And He has told us that there will be a day of judgment. And that is a future certainty. We know for sure that this will take place in the future. Many things in this life we don't know what will happen, but we do know there will be a day of judgment. And God has told us this so that we might prepare for it. We would lay up for it. When God gives us the means of grace, it is not just for the moment, but so that we might get grace and have it laid up for the day of giving account. We need to live a life, therefore, that glorifies God now. We need that evidence of saving grace that will come out on the day of judgment. So, friends, lay to heart and receive grace. We need oil in our lamps. We need grace in our souls. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So seek that spiritual bread now, that is Christ, the bread of life, that you might be saved from spiritual starvation. Jesus says in His Word, "My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." So receive the bread. Jesus suffered and died on the cross. The bread was broken. His body was broken. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins, that sinners like you might be forgiven. Will you turn your back upon this spiritual provision? Receive and rest upon Christ for salvation. Don't harden your heart. If you will hear His voice, now is the time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You're in great need, just like the Egyptians were about to starve. And they went to Pharaoh. They were asking for bread. And Pharaoh said to the people, "Go unto Joseph." So we say to you, go to Christ, and He will fill your soul abundantly. Let us be thankful for the means of grace. Let us be thankful for the promises of God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Give thanks for the harvest in New Zealand. Give thanks for the spiritual harvest of souls. Give thanks to the Lord for the gift of His Son to die for sinners. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. May He bless His Word. Let us pray. Gracious.